And as a token of this, I will offer you the right hand of faith. You can clap.
Started then was a friendship and a relationship that has carried on through over those years all the way up to this day. And those early years, we were able to share together, and eventually his relationship and marriage to Rukia, and it was great and a joy to be part of their wedding ceremony over in Holland in those years. And that continued devotion that they both shared to their calling and to their ministry is great to rejoice together in that with them. It soon became very clear back in Amsterdam that Richard was wired and fired for church planting and their calling, in particular, as you've heard, to Europe. And they moved from the Netherlands to Portugal and to Spain. Many years of just fruitful ministry in planting churches for God and bringing people together in the name of Christ. And what I would say, what Jan and I would say, is that over all of those years, they have modelled commitment, integrity, and resilience in all of their strivings for the kingdom of God and the fulfilling of their calling. And in all of the settings that they've been into, they've just had this most amazing ability to gather and bless others. And at the heart of that so often was hospitality. And using hospitality as a means of introducing and developing people in their relationship with God and their relationship with his church. And I like to think that back in Crossroads Amsterdam, we have many church-wide hospitality. I like to think that they were the forerunners of things that Richard and Rukia learned there and became able to express themselves as they moved out into wider communities. And their now infamous paella pan, which every time I see it, it looks at least 6 feet in diameter, is just the centre of that outworking of that gift of hospitality that they have. And it's a gathering point for a range of kingdom ventures that they've been involved in. And we're able to return some of their hospitality a few years ago. They came to visit us once. And the whole family came from us. And they're great up there, very fond memories of that occasion. So, as Richard and Rukia move forward, there's a continuing expression of his commitment to God, his faithfulness to God, his service for God. And we rejoice with both of them in that. And bless them today. He's run an amazing race and he's fought an incredible fight. And Richard is continuing to, Paul and Philippians, pressing on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called him heavenward in Christ Jesus. So for this new chapter here, I commend this faithful man of God to the fellowship and congregation.
I think you seem to be going backwards, really. Yeah. Perhaps I should have spoken first. But obviously, I first got to know Richard as a teenager. I knew his parents quite well because they were very involved in international mission, and they encouraged my wife and I when we did our missionary work. But obviously, I also knew Richard because the youth leaders were in our home group, so we often had young people, and some of the young people that Richard's mentioned who went out to become missionaries all over the world. My name's Craig Hatton. Today I'm representing Greyfriars Church, so that's the history. But also, I suppose in a way, although I'm there at the beginning, I'm also here at the end, because I also represent Greyfriars Missionary Trust, and we are supporters of Richard and Rukia. We've worked with them over the years in Portugal, Riverview, and in Spain, Mountain View, supporting Richard and Rukia through their work, and we're continuing to support them as they move out through Global Training Network. So in other words, we're part of the other side of Richard and Rukia's part-time ministry. But it's a great thing. We're going to talk about missionaries today, we're talking about mission partners. And so we're partnering with Datchet Baptist Church in, if you like, Richard and Richard's project. And it's a great thing too that Richard and Rikia will be continuing to be pastors, because when they go out on their global training network, it's good that they're not just talking about past experiences overseas, but they're actually talking about things that happen from day to day, so they're, in a sense, talking from relevant experience today. So we're very glad they've come to Datchet Baptist Church. So we look forward to partnering with you at Datchet Baptist Church. If you're ever here and Rich is not up front, and you were maybe concentration's wavering a bit, and you're thinking, I should be praying, and then you hear going across the sky, you'll know that your pastor's probably somewhere off on the other side of the world, and you can stand up and put prayer for him and think about what he's doing. So I really am very happy to be here today. Pray for us, Church and Mission Trust. Wish you every blessing in your future work, and we want to be good partners with you, Datchet Baptist Church, in Richard Rangers Ministry. So every blessing to you very much.
We have people from the local Baptist churches around and other churches representing. If you're able to come up and say a word of blessing for church and minister, that would be wonderful. I'm trying not to look at anyone as they look to the floor.
Last week discussing diversity and various other things, but we're really looking forward to getting to know you, Richard, and we welcome you to team. I'm not sure if many of us are here, unfortunately, but we're looking forward to getting to know you, spending time with you, and you will be here. We've got a Christmas meal next week, which we'll meet you with.
Thank you, Amanda, and I would echo Amanda's words of greeting. And if you're talking of Elsie, if I don't pass on her apologies, unless she's dropped by the last minute. Elsie from Slough is busy dealing with a wedding, but she did ask me to pass on her apologies and send her greetings. We're all looking forward to working together with you in the weeks, months, and years ahead. So welcome. But at the end of the day, this is not about Richard or Rikia. It's not about Datchet Baptist Church. This is about what God is doing between you. And so let's recognise that as we stand to sing our next song. Coming back to the heart of worship, it's all about you.
You search much deeper within. I'm reading from the second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 8, rather, 10, through to chapter 4, verse 8. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch and Lycia, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from those from whom you have learned, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scriptures in God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers and say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn away from the truth and turn to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I've fought the good fight, and I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing.
Thank you, Andrew. Graham, welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I've just been in Chile for 2 weeks, in the south of Chile, the indigenous people down there, and been speaking in several churches, and they are very lively. So I'm very used to people saying amen and hallelujah and praise the Lord, shouting out in the service. So I expect this is going to be just a small adjustment for this evening, this afternoon. I
appreciate it,
bro. Unfortunately, I didn't enhance my suntan. We were coming into summer in Chile, and I was there at the same time last year, and it was like 26 degrees, beautiful days, sunny, no rain. This year, it was about 13 degrees cooler, quite cold, not too dissimilar to today, and rained half the time. So instead of a lot of street evangelism that we were planning on doing, we're going to speak to people as they sit waiting to pass, and they will talk to you. We went to a lot more schools. So what we did do is we had the incredible enjoyment of being able to share the gospel with about 6,000 children in 15 schools. We have many, many people commit their lives to Christ for the first time. So it was a wonderful time, but no suntan. So my name's Graham Beckett, and I'm here with my wife Lindsay. We've got two grown-up children, one working in London, one at university. And I've known Richard since pretty much the time when I became a Christian at 16. I'm going to go into that a little bit more in a minute. But I just want to thank you. Thank you, Richard, for trusting me to speak to you all on this special day. And it's just amazing to be here on this special day when you're really beginning your work here in Datchet. So what do these super Bible verses in 2 Timothy 3 and 4 tell us? Well, I'm going to start off with a really quick summary. They basically tell us that Paul knows his time is coming to an end. I don't know about you, but I sense he's a little reflective as he gives Timothy some final instructions. He's basically saying, keep going, remember the extreme significance of scripture and faith. Preach the whole truth from scripture without fear, but with gentleness, patience. Do not be swayed by external factors. Keep calm and carry on. Reminds me of a poster, was it a mug? Evangelize. And finally, be confident of your glorious future. So these are all things that, well, actually all of us need to be doing. Also that Richard specifically needs to be doing as he takes on his role here at Datchet. And things that you, as members of the congregation here at Datchet, you individually and corporately, as a church, you need to be encouraging and supporting Richard to do, supporting him in every possible way. Now, I've known Richard since we were both in our mid-teens. And in fact, my first memory, I really had to pass my mind back for this, My first memory of Richard was when we were sitting in Palmer Park in Reading, so it's an outside public park, where there was an outdoor preacher called Herbie Matthews, there's probably a few people in this room who know that name, and he was preaching on the Bible to a group of us, perhaps predominantly younger children there. I have a photograph that I couldn't find of Richard sitting with his arms around his knees, listening intently to Herbie. So you see, I can give you proof that Richard has been learning from Scripture for a long time. And I can say that with confidence because in August I celebrated my 60th birthday. It's been a little while. We were both members of Crossroads, Richard and I, which was the youth group of Crossroads, and it's already been mentioned. And as part of Great Friends Church, and for years we were going along to the Friday evening Bible studies and the meetings that were held after the church services. And you know, we learnt a lot from Scripture, from the example of our Christians during that time. We benefited. And the fantastic Grey Friars cohort from that time, well, there's Richard. There's myself. I'm in business, I'm in voluntary leadership at Good News for Everyone, which is used to be called the Gideons UK, about 4,000 members, distributing Scripture and sharing the gospel. And there's David Baldwin, he went to be a missionary in Ethiopia. David Gray, working for Wycliffe Bible Translators, and he's translated the Bible now for Turkmenistan and other languages as well. So Turkmenistan is one of the former Soviet Union countries. And there are more, in fact, many more. Simon and Jackie are here today and are going on doing great things for the Lord. So it does really feel that was a really special time. Richard's parents were missionaries too, and in the time I knew them, on a sort of personal level in Reading, they showed me and many others in that region much love and much generous hospitality. And we've heard how Richard and Ricky reflect that in their own lives now. So, back to the letter to Timothy. From chapter 3, we see that Timothy knows his teacher, Paul. He knows what he's been through. And he knows that the Lord rescued Paul from all of his trials and tribulations. That's verses 10 and 11. Of course, if any of us are to live a full-hearted, godly Christian life, speaking boldly of gospel and biblical values, then we can expect some persecution, some suffering. That's verse 12. Richard, Ricky and his family have experienced some of their own trials and sufferings, particularly in their time as church leaders in Spain. And of course, they have experienced God's mercy and healing from that time as well, as they continued and they carried on seeking God's will for their future. We're reminded here that evil will go on around us, getting worse. And of course, we see that, don't we? We see that here in our own country. If we keep up with the news or with the trends in our own culture, then we'll be in no doubt at all about that. It's important, though, that we carry on. We carry on knowing how others have been helped in the past and relying on the Scripture. In verse 14, Paul instructs Timothy to continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. Perhaps this sounds obvious, but I think we need to make that practical. And that means we need to be continuing to study our Bibles, to continue in prayer, and continuing to rub shoulders with our Christians. Without these things, without these encouragements, it's actually hard to continue. Scripture makes us, tells us here, but we need faith too, don't we? First of all, we need that faith in order to believe and accept Jesus. Jesus as our Saviour and Lord of our lives. That's verse 15. And for each one of us, carrying on means exercising our faith, putting our trust in God, crying out to Him, praying about the uncertainties and troubles in life that come as we do continue in our lives. Then, as we trust Him, as we see the way He acts, our faith will deepen as we experience His response, His will, if you like, coming to bear upon us. I had an experience before I went to Chile where I put my passport on the boot of my car, forget all about it, and drive off. This was lost. So we had to go and get emergency passports. I lost Lindsay's passport as well, and that probably didn't go down too well. As it was a very stupid thing. We had to go and get emergency travel documents from the embassy in Paris to get back, and this was just 7 days before I was going to Chile. And then we had to come home, I had to go into London, apply for a replacement passport. All had to happen very quickly, but the replacement passport, because of the way it had been lost, would not be returned to me within 7 days. And so I wasn't expecting to be able to fly out to Chile. But I had loads of people praying about that situation. And God answered that prayer. That passport came through 3 days early. So praise God for that. He's an amazing God, and He answers our prayers. In verse 16, this incredibly famous verse about Scripture, Scripture is literally God-breathed. It's a full toolkit for all kinds of good work, all types of good work. It's not like a furniture flat pack with the vital part missing. It's not missing anything for our purposes as Christian. It's complete. And we need to be careful, don't we, to read it, to understand it, and to actively make use of it. For teaching, for correction, for rebuking, training in the right way to live. And of course, one day, each one of us will be judged in the presence of God and Jesus. And so, like Timothy, Richard is to preach the complete word, to correct, rebuke, and encourage, but with care and with great patience. As a church, your role is supporting that. And I suppose it's reasonable to wonder, are you ready? Are you willing for that? If you are, then I feel that that vision that Richard gave a kind of glimpse of earlier on, which included growth in the fellowship, I'm sure that you will be blessed and you will experience growth as others are attracted to join. I recently heard Jay John, some of you may know of him, teaching at GAFCON, which is a big, I suppose, evangelical conference. And he was appealing to the Anglican bishops to ensure that they preached the whole gospel. Well, he was actually talking about the whole Jesus. And how easy it is for us, isn't it, to solely focus on the identity of Jesus. Meek and mild, full of love, and of course all that is true. But we mustn't forget to preach Jesus as Lord. As it's pointed out to us in 2 Corinthians 4, He is to be Lord of our lives. Lord of our time, our resources, our priorities. In fact, every aspect of our lives. And remember, this gentle Jesus is the same one who turned over the tables of the money changers. Verses 3 and 4 in chapter 4 feel like they could be written with today in mind. But in biblical times too, there was the problem of what I'll call extracurricular items being added to the gospel, but around different areas. The whole book of Galatians is about Jewish customs and traditions being added to the gospel. If we add or take anything away from the gospel, then we have no gospel at all. When we stand for nothing, we become nothing. Here in the UK, many will simply not accept the gospel now. Now, 20 or 30 years ago, secular society felt that Christianity was tolerable, just as long as you kind of kept it yourself most of the time, didn't share much about your own views. Society, in the broad sense, allowed you to believe it, but you shouldn't be too enthusiastic about it. Now, things are different. Things are different in our culture now. Our current age of so-called wokeness, cancel culture, and tolerance, whilst containing wonderful godly elements, such as viewing other people groups as equals, and working against discrimination, at the same time, it has formed a new form of kind of all-pervading intolerance, such that anyone who doesn't fully support every aspect of anybody else's lifestyle choice is branded as ignorant, a bigot, and maybe downright evil. Many people now view Christians in that way. We can now be seen as the bad guys. The truth has been turned on its head, and in any case, it's been viewed merely as my own or your own version of your truth. There is a kind of total intolerance to even the concept of absolute truth. And, you know, sometimes these things seem absurd. I've heard of cases where children at school, deciding they now identify as a dog or a cat, even should not be challenged in that, but be supported. Yeah. Seems sort of absurd, doesn't it? Laughable at one level, but these things, I think, are dangerous. However, we're here in this passage. We're learning that despite all of those things, we are to keep our heads, not allowing the distraction of these controversies, and I think that's a lot of what it is a distraction, to cause us to hesitate in our work. Instead, we are, you are, Richard is, to continue in the work of evangelism, introducing others to the complete gospel, to the whole character of Jesus, and keeping firmly to biblical truth and values. Well, again, as well as showing Richard, Rickia and his family love and generosity as a church, you need to be supporting them in prayer, in finance, and in practical support. You need to help Richard to stay on this gospel track as he teaches and encourages you to do the same. Finally, with that, here's the word finally. Here we see that, like Paul, we can be 100% confident of that crown of righteousness. Not our own righteousness, of course, but that of Christ, because he laid down his life for us. And one day, every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. Every knee. We need to be joyfully looking forward.
Challenging to me, but I'm glad you challenged us all. We're going to close with an older song called Shine Jesus Shine. I know some people will be learning, but when I was a student, I guess, perhaps in Crossroads 2, I can't remember which year it came out, but I think this was one of the songs that inspired a previous generation, my generation, to really go for it. And hopefully someone's going to write some new songs for this next generation, but I think it's a very appropriate song to say, Shine Jesus, shine. We want Jesus' glory to shine in this land, to shine in this church, to shine in our lives. So let's stand and sing together, Shine Jesus, shine.